Amen. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Amen. God bless you. It's good to be back home, away from home. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Quickly, I was given an assignment by my wife, so let me get that out of the way before she hears about it. Sister Melanie, will you come up? Mm-hmm, that's you. That's you. She said to tell you that, you know, the folk at Providence and at Shiloh hears too much about just Pastor Armstrong and I. It's about time that they begin to hear about you too. So she asked me to give you this small gift. She said to you, it's just something to wear to remember her. And these are her exact words, that there is something more elegant on his way. All right? She also gave me another assignment. She said, make sure before you leave the U.S., make sure you bring with you her size.
Okay. So I'm not saying
no, 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 don't say that. But I can't go back to Liberia if I don't carry that size. Okay? Okay?
I'm going to whisper to you later.
Okay, good. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. That's from the First Lady of Providence to the First Lady of Shiloh. Amen. 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 It's good to be here today. It's good to see all of you Liberians. You didn't know you come from that place, but you are. Amen. I'm especially glad to have some of my former staff members, Reverend Thomas Wilson, former director of youth pastor, director of youth and college young adult ministry. We also have one of our deacons here, Deacon Gunny Meacher. Deacon Meacher is also here. And my current director of Christian education, who's now studying at Princeton Seminary, is also here. She's going to be assigned here at Shiloh, Pastor Armstrong. She's assigned here. She doesn't have a choice where she goes. She's assigned here. Amen. And I'm going to be keeping a tab on her by finding out how she's doing. Use her here anyhow you like. Amen. It's part of her training. Amen. Amen. And she's here for 2 years, and she's going to come back to continue to work at Providence. I'm especially glad to also see my lovely cousin, Mayma. God bless you. Good to see you. Amen. Amen. She used to be a member here. We grew up together in Liberia, she and her husband. God bless you. And to all the other Liberians, Choicy and all of the rest of you, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. 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 God bless you. Now, look in your seats. There are some seat belts. I want you to untie yourselves. Let's have church. Amen? And listen, every now and then you will hear me ask the question, are you with me? And if you're not sleeping, just borrow me a few amens. Why is that important? It's important because, listen, if you help me preach the sermon today, we might be out of here early. But if I have to preach the sermon all by myself, we will be done when I'm finished. So tap the person sitting next to you. Tell him, the pastor needs your help this morning. Just borrow him a few amens every now and then. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. It's good to be here. When I walked in here this morning, I saw that afro. I said, my Lord, have mercy. She looks mighty fine. Amen. Amen. It's good. It's good. It's good. God bless you. Come on, let us all stand quickly and turn in our Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. Just in case, Mark is in the New Testament. Amen. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. If you're there already, say amen. If you're still looking, say, wait a minute, preacher. I'll wait a few seconds. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. And it reads, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. The next portion is important, but just jump with me to verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring them, ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Somebody say, "Just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, John, and James, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but sleeping." But they laughed at him. And after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in there with the child. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Tikkun," which means, "This little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, on this church, on this thy people, pour all thy power. Lord, grant us wisdom and grant us courage for the facing of this hour. Lord, may I yield this sermon to your utterance, my sight to your faith, and my spiritually reconstructed imagination to your divine inspiration. Lord, speak for us, speak to us, speak through us. Help us to hear from heaven today. Let the words of my mouth, the collective meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray, let the church say, amen, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Today I stopped by here on my way to glory to speak to you from the theme, leaving an impression. Leaving an impression. Today's text tells us of a parent. A father by the name of Jairus. This text says that he was a religious man, a ruler of the local synagogue. He oversaw the daily operations in the synagogue. He arranged the services. He was much like today's pastor. He chose who would read the scripture and who would speak. He was the chief administrator. He was well known and much respected in the community. He was a man with high social position, a man known amongst the people, a man of prestige, power, and position. He was one of the highest ranking religious leaders in Capernaum. But he was a father. A father with a desperate need. A father who found himself in need and seemed as though he couldn't find where to find his help. Now, church, listen, while this is not necessarily a Father's Day's sermon, but fathers, today we can learn something from the father in this text. Are you with me? Listen, church, because of the lack of father figures in homes in the last 30 years in this nation, there has been 550% increase in violent crime. There has been 400% increase in illegitimate birth. because of the lack of father figures in homes in this nation. There, over the last 30 years, there has been 200% increase in teen pregnancy. 300% increase in teen suicide. More than 70% of all juvenile in state reform institutions come from fatherless homes. Are you with me this morning? Listen, listen, church, listen, parents, you will never become so powerful, so popular, so prosperous that you will rise so high that the problems and the troubles of this world can find you. Because sometimes, parents, we forget our role that God plays on us, and we think that the titles we carry and the chores we perform are more important than the kids God gave us to raise. Leaving an impression. Church, listen, Jairus' little girl, the apple of his eye was dying. According to Luke's gospel, she was the only daughter. Oh, I'm going to take my time. Those of you who have had children and have had your child so sick that he or she was at the point of death can identify with how Jairus fell on that day. Are you with me? Listen, church, the question, today's question is, what did Jairus' daughter see in her father as he sought Jesus' help on her behalf? Listen, there are several things about the parent in today's text that I want to bring to our attention today. The first thing I want to bring to our attention about this father is, one, his daughter saw that he was not ashamed to seek out Jesus. My. When his daughter looked and she thought, when she looked around, she saw that her father was not ashamed to seek out Jesus. Listen, church, Jairus had possibly heard about Jesus speak in the synagogue at Capernaum. He might have heard that Jesus talked about the healing of the sick, the raising of the dead, giving a sight to the blind. He sought Jesus out because he knew that this man that he heard about could do something for his dying daughter. Listen, listen, listen. In the crowd that day, waiting to welcome Jesus back, stood two people who were especially anxious to see him. Two different people from completely different background. One was a very religious man, and the other was an outcast of society, they call her. Listen, one was Jairus, a man with a sick daughter, a dying daughter. The other was an anonymous woman suffering from an incurable disease. Are you with me, church? Listen, listen. This no-name sister, certain woman issue have been ongoing as long as the well-known religious man's daughter have been alive. Listen, listen. It was Jairus who approached Jesus first, but it was the woman who Jesus helped first. Are you with me? Listen, Jairus was about to lose his daughter who had given him 12 years of happiness. But this sister, certain woman, was about to lose an affliction that had brought her 12 years of sorrow. Jairus, no doubt a worthy man, but his worth could not save his dying daughter. You know, every now and then God blesses us with some wealth. Every now and then God gave us a little bit of affluence and influence. And every now and then we get drunk with the things that God gave us. And we think those things can take care of the need that we have. We forget the God who gave the blessing. We begin to worship the blessing that God gave us. Listen, but this father did not forget who he was. He sought out Jesus. This sister, certain woman, was beyond human help and medical help. Listen, she lost her identity and her certainty. Her body was out of control. She was physically weak, emotionally spent, and financially bankrupt. She had given the doctors all she had, and yet she was not any better. Both Jairus and this poor woman were at their wits' end. They came to Jesus hoping against hope that he could heal them. They found the answer to their needs at the feet of Jesus. Are you with me? Listen, listen, listen. When you think about the text and think about the order of things, you might say, listen, it was unfair for Jesus to take care of this woman when this man saw him and called him out first. Listen, Jesus was not unfair like we can be. When he dealt with her publicly, even though Jairus had come to him first, Jesus dealt with her first publicly for the sake of Jairus. Listen, listen, his daughter was close to death and he needed all the encouragement he could get. Sometimes, church, it looks as though God has forgotten us. No, God never forgets us. But listen, sometimes God sees our problem, passes by us and takes care of somebody else's need, because the testimony from that person just might give us what we need to believe that there is a God who's able to take care of all of our needs according to his riches in glory. Listen, it was bad enough that the crowd was impeding the progress of Jesus getting to Jairus' house. That the woman, it was also bad that this woman would interfere in this good journey that Jesus was making to Jairus' house and stop Jesus to help her. But listen, in the midst of all of this, one of Jairus' friends arrived on the scene as if to add insult to injury and said to him, "Brother Jairus, the girl you left at home had just died, and we just called the Anderson funeral home to get a body." No doubt Jairus felt that the end had come and that things had gone from bad to worse. But Jesus, when we are weak, that he is strong. But Jesus, when I'm made perfect in him, he's made perfect in my weakness. Listen, listen, listen. And Jesus' words to the certain sister, this woman, he said in verse 34, he said, "Daughter." Listen, in the midst of all of this mess, in the midst of all of this stuff, he left her sick. Somebody just told him that she had died. They had not yet gotten to Jairus' house, but yet Jesus stops, takes some time to heal somebody else on the way to Jairus' house. And Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." I can hear Jairus in the corner saying, "But how so? What about me, Jesus? I talked to you first, daughter," he said to her. "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering." Words of faith and peace must have encouraged Jairus as much as they encouraged her. I can hear Jairus saying, "If God can do it for this no woman, this no name woman, if God can take care of this woman that's called insignificant in society, I may be somebody, but I know this God can take care of my needs." So listen, don't be jealous. Listen, don't be angry. Listen, don't be perplexed when it seems as though God didn't hear you, but God hears somebody else. Let me tell you, God just might go through somebody else to get your needs met, because he knows you need the testimony of somebody else. Why, Pastor Sam? Because, like this woman, Jairus knew that to be made whole, Jesus' words meant more than receiving physical healing. Jesus had given her spiritual healing as well. Listen, Jairus had to overcome a lot of pressure and prejudices to come for help. Listen, he didn't sneak up to Jesus under the cover of darkness like Nicodemus. Listen, listen, he did not send a surrogate He sought out Jesus himself. Listen, listen. He found the answer. He found the answer to his daughter's needs at the feet of Jesus. Oh, what an impression. Listen, this daughter had about her father. He didn't send somebody else. Father, is it about time that you stand up for your family, stand up for your children, stand up for your community? Stop sending surrogates. God need men and women. God need godly men to stand in the gap who will proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Listen, a father of and his five children went to a state fair, and the father had won a toy at a raffle. Immediately, this father called his five kids together and asked them which one of them should get the present. He looked at all five of them. He said, who is the most among you? Who's the most obedient? Who among you, he said, never talks back to mommy? Who among you, he said, never, who does everything that she says? He asked them. Listen, as if a choir had showed up that day in unison, all five small voices answered together. You play with the toy, daddy, you play with the toy. Because these five boys could see that the dad was a man who stood up and who took care of their mommy, who never disrespected her. So they said, daddy, you won the toy, you play with the toy, you deserve it. Listen, today in this culture that is becoming increasingly confused about the roles of gender and the roles of who you are, too many of us are running away from our responsibility to bring change to our homes and our communities. Too many of us are leaving the wrong impression. Too many of us are nowhere. There are too many phantom fathers. Too many of us are nowhere around to leave an impression on the lives of our children. Parents, listen, it is time to get off your blessed assurance and teach your children that God loves them too much to reward them for disobedience. It's time to get off your blessed assurance, church, and teach your children that God's love is unconditional, but his promises are not. It's time to teach your children that they cannot expect God to bless them with finances without tithing, with wisdom without word, with freedom without forgiveness, with victory without accountability, and with abundance without obedience. Leaving an impression. Are you with me in church? Listen, regardless of his social position, regardless of the onlookers of the townspeople, Jairus humbly knelt before Jesus, pleading with him, please come to my house, for my child is dying. Listen, church. As soon as Jairus spoke his faith, Jesus was attracted by that faith and went with him to heal his daughter. Come on, come on, listen. God is just waiting. Jesus is just waiting for us to speak our faith that will attract the Savior to come and take care of our needs wherever we are. But we call ourselves church folk, but sometimes we just don't have enough faith. Listen, parents. It is all right to let your children see that you have some limitations. I know we live in a Superman society. It's all right to let them see that you can weep with them. Let them know that there are things that you cannot do. But there is a God who does all things well. But listen, now it's time that you show them that you have faith in the one who saves and who saved you and who you ought to serve. Faith in the one who goes to church every day. Faith in God. Live in a society where
parents, kids can take parents to court. My goodness. I'll tell you a quick story my mother told me many years ago. She said there was this Liberian family, this Liberian mother who came to these United States, lived in New York, and her little child had got caught up in the culture way. He called 911, and 911 called a social worker, and that social worker, God bless, was from Liberia. So the social worker called the mom and the child in his office and said, what happened? And the young man explained as if he was talking about his equal. And so he put the child out and told the mom to stay. He told the mom, now he got back into his Liberian accent. He said, Mommy, I'm from Liberia too. Take that young man home and give him a good whipping. The next time he called, they would call me because I am the social worker assigned to this case. So he called the boy back in and said, young man, I know where you're from and I know how you ought to behave. The next time you misbehave, your mom's going to give you some more whipping. And they're going to call me and I'm going to let her give you some more whipping in my office. From that day, that young man behaved. Are you with me? Listen, church, like Jairus. When we believe, Jesus shares his power with us and something happens. Something happens in us that transforms our situation and our circumstances. This young lady had an impression about her father. She saw that he was not ashamed to seek out Jesus. Secondly, this daughter saw that her father was not ashamed to bring Jesus home. My, my, my. Oh, what are we bringing home these days? Single mom, how many men are you bringing home in front of your daughters? Single fathers, how many girls are you bringing home every week in front of your sons? You're teaching them what to do when they grow up. This daughter was proud of her father. She saw him bring Jesus home. What an impression a daughter had of her father. Why is this a big deal, Pastor? Listen, for a man of Jairus' status and place in government and society, it was not easy for Jairus to come to Jesus publicly and to ask for help. Why, Pastor? I'm glad you asked, deacons. Because the religious leaders who were opposed to Jesus would certainly not approve. Nor would some of the other synagogue leaders. The things that Jesus had done and taught in the synagogue had aroused the anger of the scribes and the Pharisees, and some of them were probably Jairus' friends. Why a man of this stature would come to Jesus publicly? Oh yes, God blessed us, man, sometimes with good title, with some affluence and influence, and we allow those things to get in the way. We're too ashamed for our workmate to know we know Jesus. Oh, we're too embarrassed for somebody to know we can stand up in the public and tell somebody, I got a sick daughter, I've been to the hospital, the doctors can't help me, I'm going to find a great physician. Listen, pain can make us desperate. Sickness can make us do some strange things. Listen, this parent was desperate to find a solution to his little girl's problem. Jairus would rather lose his friends and save his beloved daughter. We need fathers like Jairus. Jairus brought Jesus home. What an impression. Today we need homes where Jesus resides, a home where Christ is welcome, home where Christ is more than a picture on a wall, but a place where his presence is acknowledged and his name is honored and his word is practiced. We need parents who would declare like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Leaving an impression, Jesus visits Jairus, whom heals his daughter in her sick condition and brings her back to life. She gets up. She walks around as if to say, let me prove to you that she is not a ghost. Gave her something to eat. What took this father from his daughter's side to seek out a Jewish teacher? What compelled this dad to fall at Jesus' feet and cry, I beg you, come to my house. Please come to my house. Church, what caused a father to forget his place in society and what others might think about or say about him? His faith in God and his love for his daughter. Church, like this man, we must not be ashamed to seek out Jesus. Church, like Anna, we must not be deterred by life's situation. Listen, Jesus is not bound by our time constraints. Other issues are required. Listen, Jesus' attention is not just on us. We ought to be glad that we have a God who can handle many things at the same time. So when you see Jesus taking care of sister so-so and so, don't be jealous. God knows when to take care of your needs and your time. Like this man, we must not be discouraged by our circumstances, because there are times when our faith will be challenged by a change in our circumstances. But Jesus invites us not to fear, but to still believe. Like this man, we must hold on even when reason tells us to give up. Why, Pastor Reeves, I'm glad you asked. Listen, because faith is not the belief that we will get what we want. Faith is the belief that God knows best what we need. Oh, no, you didn't get that. I give it to you one more time for free. Listen, like this man, we must hold on even when reason tells us to give up. Why? Because faith is not belief that we will get what we want. But faith is belief that God knows what's best for us when we need it. A young teenage boy had just gotten his driver's license. When he got home, he asked his father, who was a minister, if they could have a talk about the new car. His father took him into his study and said to the boy, I'll make a deal with you, son. If you bring up your grades, study your Bible a little more, and get a haircut, then we will talk about the use of the new car. After several months, the boy came back again to his father and asked his father to have a discussion about the use of the new car. They again went into the father's study, where his father said to him, son, I've been very proud of you. You've brought up your grades. You've studied the Bible diligently, but you did not cut your hair. The young man waited a moment and he replied to his father, Dad, I've been thinking about that. You know, Samson had long hair. Moses had long hair. Noah had long hair. Even Jesus had long hair. His father at this point interrupted him. He says, son, they had long hair, but they walked everywhere they went. leaving an impression on our children. We don't know how long Jairus' daughter lived. Listen, there was not a day, I believe, that went by that this 12-year-old girl didn't know that I'm alive because my daddy was not ashamed to seek out and bring Jesus home. Church, whatever Jesus lays his hands on, lives. Huh? He visited Jairus' home, laid his hands on his only daughter, his 12-year-old girl, and raised her from the dead and restored her to perfect health. Whatever Jesus laid his hands on, lived. Are you with me? When Jesus laid his hands on our situation, change arrived. Transformation makes an appointment. Healing takes up residence. When Jesus lays his hand on false ambition, he turns Saul into Paul. When Jesus laid his hands on the basic health need for basic health care, he turned a no-name certain woman with an issue of blood into a medical miracle. When Jesus laid his hands on a corrupt tax collector, he turned Zacchaeus into an earnest IRS agent. Listen, when Jesus laid his hand on a society replete with corrupt immorality, he turned a woman at the well into a redeemed, transformer, and bold first century evangelist. When Jesus laid his hands on a broken correctional system, he turned Saul and Paul prison into a revival station. Listen, God can lay his hands on your situation and change it for good. Let God lay his hands on you and you'll be all right. Let Jesus stop by your place and fix your problem. Whatever Jesus lays his hands on, transformation comes. Leaving an impression. God bless you.
Everyone standing to their feet, let us, deacons and deaconess, help me, ministers, help me extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. We don't take for granted that everybody here in the sanctuary is a believer. I want you to not miss what Jesus said to Jairus. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. And so we want to invite folk who maybe have not yet believed that Jesus is Lord. You may have your name on a roll. But how many of you know being a church member doesn't save you? And so whether you are a member here or a member visiting, we want to remind you that God has more for you. And we hope that you can step out and give God your hand and give us your hand and give God your heart. And so if you want to join the church now, we want to invite you to do that. Now is the time to do that. But more importantly, we want you to consider what it means to have a real relationship with the Master. You just heard the preacher preach. When Jesus comes home, he can change circumstances. So we want you to invite Jesus into your life, into your home, into your situation, and into your circumstance. But you've got to first believe it yourself. So as the choir sings this song of invitation, we want to extend the invitations to someone out there. Go ahead and lift up the song choir. In the name of Jesus. Deacons and deaconess, clergy, help me extend this invitation out. If there's someone here today, we want to invite you to come. We want to invite you to come. We want to invite you to come. Anyone here today? Anyone here today? In the name of Jesus. Look at God today. Come on, give God a praise offering. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
All right. Bless the Lord. Is there anybody else who wants to join the church today? Or who wants to give their life to the Lord? Look at this. Look at God. Somebody give God a praise offering. Come on, a 16-year-old teenager just come forward to say, I want to make a decision for Christ. Anybody else today? Anybody else today? Anybody else today? Anybody else today?